Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Mexico's government pressing for a deal to resume live cattle exports to the U.S. after a months-long shutdown over a screwworm outbreak. Now, according to Reuters, President Sheinbaum said her ag minister will travel to Washington to meet with U.S. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins. This is in hopes of reopening the border, which has been closed since May. Sheinbaum said Mexico has contained the flesh-eating parasite in the northern state of Nuevo León, though U.S. officials remain cautious. Screwworm is a pest that infests warm-blooded animals that spread north from Central America over the past year, threatening livestock, straining U.S.-Mexico trade ties, and Secretary Rollins publicly criticizing Mexico's handling of the outbreak, citing ongoing risk to the U.S. herd. Now, in a typical year, the U.S. imports 1.17 million head from Mexico, and last year it was even bigger, 1.25 million head, valued around $1.3 billion. But this year, with that mid-May halt in place, imports running hundreds of thousands of head below last year's levels, and analysts warned the disruption leading to higher beef prices in the U.S., placing financial stress on the domestic feeding industry. USDA's chief veterinarian said in late May the U.S. could resume imports by year-end if risk controls are validated, but new detections have kept the ban in place. A massive U.S. corn harvest colliding with only incremental demand gains, keeping prices heavy into winter. In an analysis for Mississippi State University, Will Maples notes USDA's September projection at 16.8 billion bushels, nearly 1.5 billion above the 2023 record, even if yields are trimmed post-harvest. Most use sits in three bins: feed, ethanol, and exports. Well, feed demand pegged near 6.1 billion bushels. That is the highest since at least 2000, supported by lower prices and rising grain-consuming animal units. Ethanol grind projected around 5.6 billion bushels. That's up from 5.4, with year-round E15 still a potential kicker. So what about exports? Well, that's the standout. Sales are tracking toward a record 3 billion bushels, led by Mexico, Japan, and Colombia, despite China's absence since 2023-2024 and a pause in weekly updates during the shutdown. Well, Maple's bottom line is strong use won't outrun record supply, so price relief rests on final production and disciplined marketing. Speaking of marketing, with China halting purchases of American soybeans after a renewed tariff dispute, Bangladesh is emerging as a key new buyer, snapping up surplus U.S. supplies at bargain prices. Daily Star reports Bangladeshi importers and crushers taking advantage of a widening price gap, with U.S. soybeans selling for about $470 per ton compared to $490 or more for Brazilian cargoes. Shift comes as Chinese tariffs of 20% have sharply reduced U.S. exports to their once top destination. It's leaving farmers with excess stock and lower farm gate prices. This is Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
First of all, the funds are estimated to have cut their positions in wheat, corn, soybean, pre-potential meeting because there's so much uncertainty, so that short has slightly reduced.
Bertrand Osterle is StoneX Vice President of Clearing. Says the U.S. and China are set to meet amidst strained trade relations.
It's only a guess because obviously we don't have a government in the U.S., so we're in the dark, there's no CFTC, but the market feels that the specs have reduced. Also, when we look at the Chinese data, it's not good for the U.S. Mm-hmm. So the September figures, which we had mentioned previously, were 12.87 million tons. That's the amount of soybean that China has bought in September. That was a record for September. There was no U.S. soybean in those 12.87 million tons. No September origin from the U.S. is the first time in 7 years. Mm-hmm. Last year, for example, it was 1.17 million tons. Now, actually 1.7 million tons. Mm-hmm. When we look at the composition of the imports, it's 10.96 million tons of Brazilian, 1.17 million tons of Argentine. The message is China doesn't need the U.S. It can rely on South America.
Right.
So that makes things pretty complicated for Trump at present. Mm-hmm. Then the other thing that we have to consider is the message that comes back from China. China is defiant. China is saying, well, if you try to put extra fees on our boats, we'll do the same. So it's still a tit-for-tat reaction. Mm-hmm. And then when we look at the U.S. are 73% harvested. Again, that's an estimate because we don't have the USDA figures because of the government shutdown. But it's almost three quarters through. And the U.S. market needs to find an out for this crop.
Right.
And for the moment, we're being told by our U.S. colleagues that it's mostly going to storage. It's not going to exports. And the only thing that is saving the farmers at present is a good domestic demand in the U.S. with the NOPA crush figures, for example, for September being really high.
We often focus on the U.S. in these negotiations, but what about China and corn?
The corn harvest is going on, and we've had some mixed messages in terms of it's rained too much, it's delaying the harvest. It's a problem, especially in Huanghuiwei region. I hope I'm pronouncing this well. It's quite a large area of China, and that was initially a concern. Since then, we've had the Statistics Bureau saying that overall it's going to be a good crop, despite the weather issues there and there. And we've had some confirmation as well from the Agricultural Ministry saying that they think it's a good crop. Therefore, imports from China would be 6 million tons, less than the 7 million tons they had anticipated previously. Mm-hmm. Then if we look elsewhere, the Argentine are already 30% planted. The crop is still expecting to be large, 61 million tons. Mm-hmm. That would be way more than last year on a switch from oilseeds to corn. And that, again, is going to be dependent on whether or not La Niña comes to create some problems or not. Okay. Then the first Brazilian corn crop is also being planted pretty well. It's past the halfway mark. It's 51% planted so far. And then when we look at the U.S., we are 59% harvested. Again, that's an estimate from outside the USDA because we've got the government shut down. Mm-hmm. But it is being harvested at good pace. And the question mark we have out of the U.S., and I think that's the most important element at present to look at in terms of corn, is the yields. There's been a lot of noise, a lot of discussions about lower yields than initially anticipated out of the U.S., and it's going to be interesting when the USDA comes back on to see if they straight away go and make that survey to find out where the yields are, if they're going to correct it or not. So all eyes would be on the USDA coming back on the U.S. yield estimates.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
It's one form of an irrevocable trust that we use as an estate planning tool to try to keep assets out of a decedent's estate at death.
Tax law specialist Roger McCohen on intentionally defective grantor trust.
Also, simultaneously, if we're working on a transition of a farm or a ranch to the next generation, help that appreciation and value of those trust assets in the hands of those subsequent generations, in the hands of the beneficiaries. So we're trying to do two things with it. IRS has issued what's known as a chief counsel advice. It's a ruling on a particular request, in this instance, from an IRS examining agent in the field looking at a return, wondering what position should we take on this? And the national office came back. And let me just explain what the reason for that ruling is. We use an IGET. It's called an intentionally defective grantor trust. Now, some might say, well, why would I want a defective trust? Well, hang with me here for a second. It's effective for federal estate and gift tax purposes, meaning it's an irrevocable transfer of the assets, primarily the farm and ranch land, but it could be all the farm assets, into the trust. So it's irrevocable. And normally, under the rules, once we transfer that property away, we offset the value of that with exclusion, because that's a taxable gift away from us, and we keep it out of the estate at death. Now, the idea is that's appreciating property that's going into the trust, and so that future appreciation is not going to be subject to estate tax in the grantor's estate at the time of death. But the trust is defective for income tax purposes. Now, if this is a grantor trust, normally a grantor trust is different from a non-grantor trust in that the grantor is still treated as the taxpayer on the income generated by the trust. But here we have an irrevocable trust transferring the property away. Normally, the grantor would not pay the tax on this, but this is a special type of grantor trust. It's defective for income tax purposes, meaning that the grantor still is going to pay the tax on the income generated by the assets transferred to the trust, even though they're out of their eventual estate, even though they don't own those assets anymore. And what the technique has been in the past, some people will say, well, what if I don't have enough money to pay the tax obligation on the income? Because this might be, for example, farm and ranch land that's in there that's producing rental income, might be other assets that's producing income. And if the grantor has to pay the tax on that, but yet they don't own the assets, so their concern might be, what happens if I come up short? So practitioners will draft clauses into these trusts that say, well, we can borrow money from the trust and give an independent trustee discretion to distribute funds. It's not necessarily a borrow. You're going to get money out of your trust and distribute the funds from the trust back to the grantor to make those tax payments. It's a tax reimbursement clause. And IRS said in 2016, all right, that won't trigger any gift or income tax consequences for the grantor. But now they've changed their position. Now they're saying that that type of tax reimbursement clause does trigger gift tax when the trustee distributes trust funds to the grantor to pay the income tax generated by the income that the assets produce in the trust. So that's not just an administrative issue. That's a change in beneficial interest, according to IRS.
But when it comes to the IRS...
Some might say that the IRS has essentially foreclosed the ability to retroactively implement any type of relief here. So we're just going to have to see. My guess is if the new Treasury, what I mean is the new administration and their Treasury, doesn't change position on this, it's going to have to probably be sorted out in court.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Here's the bottom line. When we left Trump 1, and I was in the first administration in the West Wing, when we left Trump 1, we left with an agriculture trade surplus. We left with a China deal in place. We left with inflation at its lowest in years.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
When we came back 4 years later, we had an ag trade deficit. We had no new trade deals in 4 years, and we had the cost of inputs, interest rates up 73%, labor up 47%, fertilizer up 36%. I could go on and on and on, and I won't. So that's why those bankruptcies, but you're talking about the first half of this year, right? That is all as a direct result of the last 4 years. Having said that, what the president is doing to open up markets around the world, what I'll be talking about tomorrow from the White House for our ranchers, opening up the opportunity for new, younger ranchers to begin ranching, opening up the lands in the West, the BLM lands and the Forest Service lands, my partnership with Doug Burgum at DOI, bringing down the cost of processing. We are attacking this from every possible option to ensure we're getting the cost down, we're opening up the market, and we're allowing farmers to do what they do best, which is farm.
A 13-page plan from Rollins, but it follows a phase one trade agreement with China 4 years ago.
We're not going to see that announcement.
Arlen Suderman is with StoneX on an upcoming meeting between the presidents of China and the U.S.
But we can look for clues. For example, if the meeting with between Besant and the vice premier of China, it goes as scheduled, and there's evidence that they're working on a negotiated deal that will be signed by Trump and Xi at the meeting in South Korea, that's probably an indication that the power base, President Xi lacks confidence in his domestic power base. On the other hand, if the meeting gets called off between Besant and the vice premier, that may indicate that President Xi feels like he has a strong power base, and President Xi may not even meet with President Trump. And so that's something to keep an eye on. Personally, I remain skeptical that we will have a deal. I continue to believe that President Xi's power base is probably solid enough that he will hold the line on President Trump. Why should he accept a deal prior to hearing the Supreme Court decision later in November on the legality of many of the tariffs that Trump has been implementing? Not all the tariffs, but many of them.
And if an agreement comes quickly, can the U.S. still sell beans to China? Bertrand Osterle with StoneX.
First of all, the Chinese have been giving us some information recently, which may provide some hope for U.S. exporters, in the sense that Chinese importers have been saying very recently that Brazilian prices are too high. They've also indicated that they're not fully covered in terms of shipment for December, January. So they might be a window of opportunity. But at the same time, the Chinese government came back to say, if we have a shortfall, we have reserves that we could release onto our domestic market. So there might be an element of demand, but the Chinese government might have a solution not to have to turn to the US. The second bit is Brazil. So Brazil is planting very fast. The soybean crop is already 24% planted compared to 9% at the same time last year. That means that the quicker they plant, the quicker presumably the crop is going to grow, the earliest it's going to be harvested. So come January, there might be more Brazilian soybean available to be harvested and to come to the market, providing that La Nina doesn't ruin that growth process.
Right.
So what does it mean? It means that U.S. exporters, if there is a deal, will have a very short window of November-December shipment, and that could be very tight.
It's Agriculture Today.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Confirming of my cabinet much faster than first time. I mean, we went so fast, and I give John Thune and all of you credit for that. It was amazing.
President Donald Trump at the White House Rose Garden, a luncheon for Republican senators.
All of a sudden, I was calling John, I've got to get him approved. Come on, John, because I was getting like one every 2 weeks. And, you know, I had people, they left their job and they left everything, and it looked like they were. All of a sudden, it was like an avalanche. They walked in, James and James, my double James, I call them. They walk in and they had like so many of them. I said, you got to be kidding. Is this like, are you for real? Right, James? John Thune did his job, and you got them all done, and you have all those people out there working now. And instead of being very upset with the fact that we couldn't get them approved quickly, so I really appreciate it. You used a method that I wish you could use on U.S. attorneys. You know, I have 10 U.S. attorneys who are phenomenal, a Harvard, a Yale, a this, a that, all top. And the problem is they're not going to ever be confirmed, I guess. I put them in. They'll be there for 3 or 4 months, whatever it's about, and then they have to leave. Because anytime you have, as you know, anytime you have a Democrat senator, not even two, just one, they'll say because of the time we're in, we're not approving that person. We're not approving. They never do. They won't approve. And therefore, because of blue slip, I have to tell the person after 3 months, I'm sorry, you'll have to leave. And I put somebody else in. And I've had Democrat senators say the only one we'll ever approve is a Democrat. This is not constitutional. And you really, I hope you can look at that blue slip thing, because I have 10 people that are phenomenal, and they're going to have to leave office. Highly educated, top of their class, everything. And they're going to have a mark on their career that they were a U.S. attorney for 3 months or 4 months, and then they had to leave. And that's so unfair. It's unfair to the public, because the public voted for me in a landslide, and I'm supposed to be picking the U.S. attorneys. And this goes for judges also. But actually more so even for the U.S. attorney with the blue slip. So I have these phenomenal people, many of them young, but truly fantastic people. And they're wondering what's going to happen in another 3, 4, 5 weeks. They're going to have to leave office. I think it's a shame, and I hope you can do something about it, because I'd like to tell those people we put you there, and you're not going to have on your resume for the rest of your life. You were there for 4 weeks or 6 weeks, and you left like you got canned. So I hope you look at that. Very important. And after your pivotal changes to the Senate rules last month, as a result, this is what you did. The unprecedented obstruction by the Democrats. We've confirmed more than 175 public servants, people that are phenomenal, to keep posts. And that's just been over the last couple of weeks. It's an unbelievable thing what you've done, John, you, all of you together.
And when it comes to negotiations with China,
honestly, we built their military. We built China's military with the money that we lost for so many years getting ripped off. So now we're going to have a fair deal. I think we're going to have a very successful meeting. Certainly, there are a lot of people that are waiting for it. Maybe it won't happen. Maybe it won't happen. Things can happen where, for instance, maybe somebody will say, I don't want to meet. It's too nasty. But it's really not nasty. It's just business. And we're going to do a good job representing you people and representing the people of our country.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
This is Agriculture Today.
Between 2021 and 2023, we saw machinery cost increase by a significant amount.
University of Illinois ag economist Gary Schnittke.
Tractors, for example, increased from 21 to 23, 20% if we look at a USDA index of tractor prices. That 20% compares to 14% for the years from 2011 through 2021. So in a three-year period, we saw a much larger increase in tractor prices than the 9 years before that. Those tractor price increases signaled large increases in all machinery purchases, and it also led to large increases on per acre cost on farms. For corn, we saw per acre machinery cost, which includes depreciation, fuel and oil, repairs, and machinery hire, increased from $136 in 2021, and it went up to $171 in 2024. Much of that was due to depreciation, and that was in part due to those higher machinery prices. We also saw, though, repairs go up, fuel and oil go up, and machinery hire go up. It's unlikely that those items will decline in the future, so we are at a new higher machinery cost level. Again, those machinery costs at higher levels cause higher cost and lower profitability. Those higher costs also suggest we reevaluate machinery purchase decisions. When machinery needs to be replaced, careful consideration now, probably more than before 2021, needs to be given what we do in that machinery replacement decision. One of the chief areas where that comes into play is in combines. Combine costs have increased again tremendously. From 2021, we estimated the cost of a new machine operated over different acres. In 2021, the cost of a new machine resulted in $31.10 of cost. That increased to $40.90 in 2023, and it continued to increase in 2025 up to $43.30. That $43.30 is, again, a much higher cost than $31.10 in 2021, and it suggests that we, again, need to reevaluate those combine purchase decisions. Overall, when we're looking at combines, the acres over which it's operated has a large impact on cost. And if we're something over 3,000 acres, we have typically have much lower costs than if we're in the 2,000 acre category. That $43.30 cost for that 3,600 acre farm is about the same level as it was for a 1,600 acre farm in 2017. So, if we're looking at combines, thinking about spreading those costs over more acres by a farmer sharing one combine over more farms or custom harvesting their operations would be a move that could be considered. We could also look at number of tractors on a farm, and a farm that has two relatively new tractors will have much lower costs than one with three, and one with three will have much lower costs than four. Many farmers also have purchased two planters, one for corn and one for soybeans. That strategy may need to be reevaluated as we look at much higher cost after 2001 compared to that before 2001.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.